It's been more than a year and a half since Hurricane Maria struck Puerto Rico in September 2017. The storm hit at the peak of the island's worsening economic and debt crisis, and here on The Takeaway, we've reported on the private companies that flocked to Puerto Rico to invest after the hurricane. But now, the island may be even more enticing for private companies. Under the 2017 Tax Cuts and Job Act, so-called Opportunity Zones were established around the country. These are areas where companies receive tax breaks if they invest. Here's Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin speaking to The Hill in September.
I couldn't be more excited about the Opportunity Zones. There are many, many attractive places to invest all across the country. All the entire island of Puerto Rico is an opportunity zone.
And on the island, the local government signed on to support the program earlier this month. Joel Cintrón Arbacete is a reporter with the Centro de Periodismo Investigativo, the Center for Investigative Journalism in Puerto Rico. And The Takeaway spoke with him on Tuesday.
In Puerto Rico, a local law was also signed to establish opportunity zones. Puerto Rico created local legislation that gives the same benefits that investors receive at the federal level, but it grants them at the local level, so they can combine the federal benefits with the local benefits.
But Arbacete says there are concerns about how the investment will affect the island.
Les preocupa el tema de los desplazamientos.
They are worried about displacement, gentrification, and question who will actually benefit from this. Poor communities, like this project has advertised, or will it actually benefit investors with the capital to really access the benefits from the opportunity zones?
For more on this story, we have Jonathan Levin. He's the Bloomberg Miami bureau chief covering Florida and the Caribbean, and he's been reporting on how opportunity zones will shape development on the island. Jonathan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So the opportunity zones we hear about often, what is the criteria that has to be met in order to be considered in opportunity zones?
Essentially, these are low-income areas. They had to meet a certain threshold either of poverty or of income itself relative to the surrounding area.
And then in terms of the tax breaks, what are the tax breaks and how do they work for investors?
Sure. So, I mean, the most important thing I can tell you is that the tax breaks are very, very attractive. On the one hand, the opportunity zones give you an opportunity to defer capital gains earned elsewhere, right? So say I just made $1 million on Google stock, but I'm not ready to pay the taxes on it just now. I can reinvest my profit into an opportunity zone and I don't have to pay capital gains tax, at least today. And then I can put that money into a project in an opportunity zone on which I'm not going to have to pay profit on those capital gains. So it's a very attractive proposal from a base standpoint and also from a time value of money standpoint.
I want to talk a little bit about the concept of doing good. This is not the first time tax breaks have been used to encourage investment on the island of Puerto Rico. Major corporations from pharmaceuticals to companies like Intel many, many years ago were given other types of tax breaks to set up shop in Puerto Rico, and those have since expired. So I'm wondering how this program would compare to previous policies where companies might actually do good by sticking around long term.
In my view, Puerto Rico has been searching for a sustainable economic model for some time. And one economic model that they used, if you will, is sort of a model based upon tax breaks. And the problem with developing an economy around tax programs is that tax programs can actually change over time. You know, when the pharmaceutical companies lost some of the tax breaks that were very advantageous to them during the 1990s and left the island, a lot of people saw that as the moment when the Puerto Rican economy started its long decline toward what we see today.
Jonathan, there are lots of different views on this. There are some people who would say, you know what, this is great investment for an island that's been, but even before Maria, that's been in an economic freefall, essentially. And there are others that are very concerned about sort of disaster capitalism, right? Profiting off of the fact that this is largely a poor island. It does not have state status. So there are really unique economic plans that can be drawn out for Puerto Rico, if I'm being generous here. So what do you say to the concerns about those disaster that people are concerned about essentially losing what they have to American companies?
What I would say is this is very clearly not a comprehensive development plan. Unlike other development programs, this does not have a jobs requirement or anything like it. This is explicitly, to their credit, nobody's claiming that it's anything else. This is explicitly about bringing capital to areas that are perceived as needing that capital. And certainly, that's a risky strategy. One of the risks is displacement, as was alluded to in your intro. If you build a very expensive condominium in a high poverty area, there's a risk that rents go up and that locals simply can't afford to live there anymore. There are also questions about where will this money actually go, right? So there are 8,700 opportunity zones around the United States, and there's no guarantee, for instance, even though these incentives are in place, that much or any of that money will go to Puerto Rico. And then within Puerto Rico, there's certainly no guarantee that the money will go to the areas of greatest need, right? After the hurricane, we talked a great deal about Utuado, places of need in the center of the island. You know, investors are incentivized to invest where they think they can make the most money. So that may not necessarily be the area of greatest need on the island.
Well, in speaking about Utuado, that is an area that is known for its coffee production. And there are lots of concerns about the center of the island being taken over by American investors, you know, and big coffee companies, for example. And I think that that concern extends beyond areas like Utuado to other parts of the island where exactly this, as you said, there could be a condominium built and then that would essentially displace Puerto Ricans. So if these opportunity zones are really seem to be opportunities only for investors, not for the people on the ground.
Well, you know, look, I think the opportunity zone concept is based on a certain degree of belief in trickle down economics, and there are you know, all sorts of people who have questions about how that plays out in the real world, and those are valid concerns. But I think the way Puerto Rico is looking at it right now is they are in desperate need of capital. They're in a very uniquely bleak economic situation insofar as they've been going through about a decade of malaise. They don't have an identifiable economic model going forward, and they've been suffering through more than a decade of population decline. And so they're just sort of grasping at straws, hoping for anything that can change their fortunes.
Are there any indications that any of these opportunity zones that we've talked about throughout the country have ever actually done good for the people that they're supposed to impact?
Well, so again, this is a very new program. And, you know, one interesting argument that I would just lay out is, so again, there's no jobs requirement to this. It's very basic. They're saying, come in, put your money here as long as it's in a place of need. And the argument for that is that if you make the rules too complicated, that can dissuade investors. While opportunity zones themselves have never existed before in this country, there have been attempts at sort of similar programs in past decades. But the criticism was always just that they were too complicated for investors to actually avail themselves of them.
Jonathan Levin is the Bloomberg Miami Bureau Chief covering Florida and the Caribbean. Jonathan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.